Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We bring on the Mercedes-Benz of Bedford Hotline, as we do every week at this time. We got to get a refresher from Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter. And Daryl, first things first, we were talking about, to start the show, that Peppers hit, the Jabril Peppers hit. And I know you were very active yesterday on social media. So when all is said and done, do you think the referees got it right?
It's the way they're legislating the game today. That type of hit's why I fell in love with football. It's why everybody loves football. But that's how they're calling the game today. And also, either way, on that same play, the Bengals were getting a first down because they let Jamar Taylor get away with, take your pick, pass interference, or defensive holding. So they got away with one, didn't get away with the second one. I do like how Jabril handled it. I certainly appreciated his team. He let his teammates and his head coach stick up for him while saying that he had to do a better job of hitting that strike zone. It's, you know, the hit happened right in front of me. And from my vantage point from the press box, it sounded, I mean, I could hear it. It sounded like a car crash. It was a violent hit. And he did lead with the shoulder and the forearm. But there was helmet-to-helmet contact, and even if it's the slightest helmet-to-helmet contact, they officials are trained to throw a penalty, whether we like it or not. That's how they're calling the football game these days.
Well, and Daryl, I know it sucks that I have to sit here and take it, because that's basically what it is. It's horrific. Just because, Daryl, I know that they didn't lose because of that, okay? Joe Mixon ran wild on him. He scored a touchdown after that, and it was just a penalty. It was 15 yards. They could have made a stop there. They didn't make a stop there. So it wasn't like they lost because of that play in particular. But you know, Daryl, it's an awful thing just because, and some people came at me about this, well, maybe we're getting better as a society, and that's why the NFL's doing that. No, they're not. The NFL's a major corporation. They're a major entity, and they don't want to be sued in the future by class action lawsuits.
Right.
So that's why they throw these flags about this, and it seems to be pretty arbitrary, but it is the absolute truth about it. And I got a guy. I want the Browns to win. I got a guy who plays for the Browns. He hasn't made a play all year. He finally makes a play, and he gets penalized for it. Yeah, you know what? I'm a little bit bitter. I'll admit, okay? I got the red ass going over here. So, yeah, it just sucks. That's all. That's all. I know it's part of the league. I don't even blame the ref for throwing it. That's what it is. But it's awful that I got to sit here and go, yeah, uh-huh, that's the way that works.
Yeah, and you know, again, it's the way they're legislating the game. It's not why they lost the game. Certainly it did tremendous damage to their ability to mount a late rally. There's no question about that. But hey, four red zone trips, just one touchdown. David Njoku with a critical offensive pass interference early to derail the first possession. Bryce Treggs, of all people, Bryce freaking Treggs got called for a taunting penalty. You're 0-10. You shouldn't be taunting anybody. You know, Brian Body Calhoun had a chance to come up with a couple of interceptions. Didn't get it done. Zane Gonzalez missing a 43-yard field goal. Didn't get it done. Corey Coleman dropping a beautifully thrown 29-yard touchdown pass that hit him in the wrong spot. The hands in the end zone. Didn't get it done. The defense, 152 rushing yards yesterday. 114, as you mentioned, to Mixon. Didn't get it done. A bunch of other penalties. Didn't get it done. That's why the Browns lost yesterday. Unfortunately, we all look to that hit that Peppers was penalized for because it came at such a critical juncture with the Browns down 7 and ultimately allowed Cincinnati to continue their drive and go up by 14. But hey, the defense still had an opportunity to make a play on that drive after that hit. And again, they didn't get it done.
Yeah, the defense is. Joe Mixon had a career-high total yards. I also say the Browns probably caught a break on that punt return for a touchdown. They got called back for a phantom block in the back, and Colquitt got absolutely destroyed on that. That could have been the penalty, maybe. Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter, join us. So they lose a game by double digits in which their quarterback played well. I think that is above-average quarterback play. I thought Kizer actually outplayed Andy Dalton. The difference is Andy Dalton has two touchdown throws. DeShone Kizer doesn't get one because there was a drop in the end zone, but 18 of 31. Overall, I thought that was maybe Kizer's best game of the year, all things considered. Do you think he has a chance to change the minds of the fan base and maybe even the Browns organization?
I mean, he has a chance. I liked what I saw from him yesterday. He bounced back. He's Jekyll and Hyde. Yesterday, we got the good DeShone Kizer. 18 to 31, career high, 268 yards. You know, ran for another touchdown. He's doing some things that you really, really like, but he continues to make the same mistakes. And I look toward the end of the first half once again, 20 seconds on the clock. At least from a positive perspective, they got 3 points out of that situation instead of the clock running out on them, but he still made the same mistake. Okay, football 101, get your pen and paper out. Real easy. This isn't difficult. You throw the football 3 times into the end zone with 20 seconds to go. Then you kick the field goal with probably 3 seconds on the clock. That's how you're supposed to manage a late in the half opportunity to put points on the scoreboard. You don't run any plays that go short of the goal line when you don't have timeouts, and they almost got burned again yesterday, but they were able to scramble, get up, and kill the clock with 5 ticks on it. But it just, to me, that's a reflection of Hugh Jackson as a coach. And maybe Hugh Jackson isn't a very good coach, because that situation should never have happened again, certainly not 2 weeks after it happened the first time, and all the questions that Jackson and Kizer had to field about it. And here we go, same situation. But again, the positive is they at least got 3 points out of that, but I did not like how they handled it.
Well, the dangerous one, breathing a little bit of fire this morning. Daryl Ryder on the Mercedes-Benz of Bedford hotline. Did you see the warm embrace between Hugh Jackson and A.J. McCarron in the pregame?
Oh, it was beautiful. Ah, reunited. You know, we needed an appropriate soundtrack to go with that, though. It was like watching some people sprint to the buffet line, watching Hugh Jackson run after A.J. McCarron and bring him over to talk to Jimmy. And his explanation, if you will, as far as what the conversation was, I don't buy it. It was a creative job on Hugh's part yesterday to come up with that they, you know, talked about the Iron Bowl.
Well, they might have. That might have been brought up during conversation. I'm not saying that.
Yeah, I don't think it was the primary point of the conversation, though.
I'm just saying. I got to tell you, it was amazing to me. Do you have a problem with that? Because immediately people start saying, "Well, guys do that all the time." I don't know. You do have a problem with it?
No, I don't have a problem with it. The idea was because they do it all the time. As I tweeted yesterday, because people were asking, "Oh, is that tampering? Is there a problem there?" Listen, if you're one of the gates at NFL stadiums, typically open up 2 hours before kickoff, and if you're one of the first few that get through the gates early and get to your seats, if you look on the field, basically from about 2 hours and 30 minutes before kickoff to 90 minutes before kickoff, it's social hour. Yeah, guys are warming up and getting some of the work in and that, but it is social hour on the field. Players, executives, coaches, even ownership from opposing teams will gather on the field and chat each other up and see how they're doing and that. The league is a very, personal relationship-driven business, just like any other business. So, no, I don't have any problem with it, and what happened yesterday was nothing out of the ordinary. It's just the people involved made it a little bit of a story because of what happened at the trade deadline.
Yeah, but Daryl, you have to admit, the friendliness, the smiles, all smiles on all of them. This is going to be part of the record of not only the actual head coach and his wins and losses. This is going to be part of this organization and the failure to make a trade go down. It was a very unique storyline, a national storyline. Browns caught a lot of flack for that. And to see those smiles, to see that, I mean, it just seemed to me, and I asked Mary Kay Cabot before the show, before the game yesterday on the pregame, I should ask you as well. I mean, it seems to me that Hugh Jackson will be reunited one way or another with A.J. McCarron. Like, that is going to happen. I don't know if it's going to happen in Cleveland or wherever the hell else he's coaching next year.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously a mutual respect between the two. There's no question about it. And also, I'll say this, the one guy that wasn't on the field during that was Sashi Brown. It was Jimmy Haslam, Hugh Jackson, and A.J. McCarron. And I think Hugh feels, in spite of his record being what it is, I think Hugh feels like he's on solid ground with ownership, doesn't have to worry about looking over his shoulder as far as his job. Come December 31st at about 4:15 in the afternoon. But yeah, there's no question it validates what we already knew, and that was Hugh Jackson was a driving force behind trying to get that trade with the Bengals done.
Man, it's just a stonesy thing that you know people are going to bring this thing up, and you could say, well, we made a big deal about it. Well, of course we're going to make a big deal about it. That's where maybe you just give a handshake and then you move on, Daryl. I mean, that's what it is. If you were they say, well, people do this all the time in the NFL. Yeah, but they're not 1-26, and they didn't just try to trade for the guy. And anything you do to this level, I don't think is a good look. I didn't think it was a good look yesterday. I thought it was silly.
I agree with you in that respect. It's right up there with swapping jerseys with your opponents on the field. You know, you can't do that stuff in the tunnel behind closed doors, or you can't say, hey, I'll get it FedEx to you. I mean, the Browns have an entire mailing department. That's what they do, okay? I don't like the jersey swap on the field. I don't like NBA players hugging and dapping up and all those type of things before games like their best buddies either. But that's professional sports today. Everybody gets along with everybody. They play along to get along, and everybody gets their multi-million dollar contracts, and they try not to hurt each other while, providing the highest level of competition against each other they can.
Well, Daryl, they hit the reset button this week because they get a new wide receiver. And it's not going to be Bryce Treggs. They're going to get somebody new in the building. We're going to get Josh Gordon, presumably.
Yeah.
If we could survive the week. I know we've gotten very close before. How excited should Browns fans be about the return of Josh Gordon?
They should. He's the best player on the team already. There's no question about it. Watching him last week, it's like he hadn't skipped a beat, guys. I even forgot. As I was watching him at practice and trying to, film him, I forgot how fast he was. He's so fast that he has to stop, come back, and catch footballs. From a talent perspective, it's there. The only thing I worry about with him is a soft tissue injury. But, talked to him on Friday. He said that he's been doing some extra things to make sure that he doesn't pull a hamstring or a groin muscle, which is usually what you have happen when guys miss that kind of time. But the excitement level for the return of Josh Gordon, considering what we've had to watch at the receiver position all year, is 150% justified.
All right, Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter on the Mercedes-Benz of Bedford hotline. Look forward to hearing from you throughout the week. Thanks, Daryl.
You got it, guys.
All right, there he is, Daryl Ryder.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.